Hi, you're listening to Screen of the Crime, a podcast where we talk about true crime and what would happen if favorite TV and movie characters committed those crimes. I'm Maggie, and today my guest is...
Cameron, it's me again, your favorite guest speaker.
It's my returning guest. Yay. It's almost like I only have five friends. How are you doing, Cameron? What's life like?
Good. We finally finished prepping and installing the Art BFA show. So I'm free. You know, school is almost over.
So our schools are not in line. My school technically ends on like the 8th of December. When does your school end?
Well, all physical classes end like after Thanksgiving break. So I'm calling that the end because it's not like I'm going to do anything.
Okay, mine too. So we're on the same page.
Yeah, pretty much.
So 2 weeks and a day now. Wow.
Hold on. What'd you just say?
Sorry, I don't mean to put time in perspective for you, but... It is, in fact, only 2 weeks and a day until the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Cut the cameras. All right, I need to reflect upon that when this ends.
Okay. My classes are winding down, too. I only have, like, 8,000 essays due, so that's fun. I'm really exhausted. My school, we have, like, a color code of COVID. Today it went to orange, which one might assume is the next step to red. However, it didn't change anything on campus, only just less people can eat inside.
Yeah, I have no idea, like, COVID levels at UCF, what UCF is even doing. You know, they email me, they're like, oh, we're doing stuff, but I really don't care. I never go on campus besides for the art building. You know, things could have burnt down and I wouldn't know. I don't read my emails. I hate this place.
And you're graduating, so
we're done with our...
Yay! that's so exciting. I have enrollment this week. I didn't even check. What if my enrollment's today? That's embarrassing. I'll have to check later. let's get into the crime.
You miss all the good classes.
That's true. I mean, there's only 12 classes to choose from for me, so I don't... Whatever. So we're going to talk about the Meeks murders, or the Meeks family murders. I got all this information from the site Murder by Gaslight. So it's a website with information on it. It's not Wikipedia, and that's what matters.
Ooh.
I know. Branching out. Crazy. All right. Let's begin. It's the morning of May 11th, 1894. And a six-year-old girl named Nellie Meeks knocks on the door of Mrs. John Carter in Linn County, Missouri's house. Her clothes were torn. Her face was covered with dirt and blood, and she had a deep gash on her forehead. Her speech, it was barely coherent as she told Mrs. Carter that her parents and younger sisters had been murdered the night before. She had managed to escape because the killers thought she was dead. Interesting so far?
Very classic opening.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It could be a movie. In fact, this is a movie. No, I'm kidding. It's not.
We're making it into a movie.
Wow. Look at us. Who would have thought? Not me. Mrs. Carter sent her 9-year-old son, Jimmy, to investigate. Because you know what's better than a 6-year-old bloody? A 9-year-old bloody. So Jimmy could not find the bodies that Nellie spoke about, so Nellie led him back to the haystack, and under which was a shallow grave containing the bodies of Nellie's father, Gus Meeks, her mother, Delora, her 4-year-old sister, Hattie, and her 18-month-old sister, Mary. Mrs. Meeks had been pregnant and had miscarried at the time of her death, so the fetus was also in the grave.
We killing everyone.
Except for the daughter, the 6-year-old.
I bet she did it.
No, you're wrong.
Oh.
But wouldn't that be cool? That would be a better story than what I'm about to tell you. Some later accounts say that the Meeks were murdered with an axe, and the adults and Hattie had been shot to death. Mary and Nellie were beaten with a rock. When they returned home, Mrs. Carter sent Jimmy out to notify the neighbors of the murder. She's really just sending the 9-year-old everywhere. On the way, he ran into George Taylor in his cornfield and told him about the bodies under the haystacks. He was like, Mr. Taylor, there's some bodies. I don't know where, they don't talk like that.
How do 9-year-olds talk?
They talk with an Italian accent. Taylor took Jimmy to his house and told him to wait outside while he hitched his horse, and they would go and take a look at the bodies that Jimmy has already seen at this point. So I don't know why Taylor doesn't believe the 9-year-old. I would.
But this is the 90s. Why is there a horse?
The 1894s.
Oh, God. This is the wrong 90s.
Yeah, this is the wrong 90s. We're in the olden days.
It's making more sense.
Yeah. Jimmy waited, but George Taylor never returned. Bwomp, bwomp, bwomp. When Jimmy did not know at the time was that George Taylor and his brother William would be the prime suspects of the murder. While Nellie was being examined by a doctor, she explained what happened. Quote, when we were going up the hill, the man, without whiskers, said his feet were cold and got out and walked along the side of the wagon and shot Papa, and Papa jumped out and started to run. Then Mama screamed and started to jump when they shot Mama and Sister. Then they hit me in the head and I went to sleep. I don't like that she described a mustache as whiskers, first and foremost.
I'm thinking very much whiskers from Tusk.
No, don't ever bring that up.
Oh, I'm definitely going to relate it to Tusk now.
Who hurt me in so many ways. When she was thrown out of the wagon, she regained consciousness and heard the men trying to set the haystack on fire. Quote, when the man put me in the straw, the one with the whiskers kicked me on the back and said, they are all dead now, the damn villains, sons of bitches. They covered me up and I could not breathe good. Sorry, I could not breathe good. I heard them say it would not burn as it would not catch. George and William Taylor were among the most wealthy and prominent citizens in northeastern Missouri. I don't know if that's saying anything as it is Missouri, but William was a graduate of the Missouri University School of Law and had served in the Missouri General Assembly and also worked for the People's Exchange Bank in Browning, Missouri. But by the early 1890s, it became clear that the Taylors had not acquired their wealth through honest labor, much like bankers do. They were charged with forgery and larceny for writing false bank drafts, and they were also indicted for arson and cattle rustling. I don't know what cattle rustling is. I should have looked that up.
Probably stealing cows from other people. I mean, what else can you do illegally with cows?
Maybe it's like, I don't know if you know a lot about stocks, but there's all these movies and things, you know, and it's like, people take money from people saying they're going to invest the money, but then they don't invest the money, thinking that the little amount of money that they do invest will grow into more money. But then people are like, can I have my money back? And they're like, oh shit, our money never came up to like enough money for me to pay these people back for the money that they asked me to invest. Anyway, maybe it's like that, but it's with cattle. So they're fake selling cattle.
They're doing something.
You are doing something. Gus Meeks, a tenant farmer on the land owned by the Taylors, was implicated in one of their cattle rustling cases. Meeks was indicted, pled guilty, and was sent to the penitentiary. About a month before the murder, Meeks was pardoned by the governor in exchange for promising to testify against the Taylor brothers. The Taylors were anxious to get rid of Meeks and offered him $1,000 if he would leave the area. When they came to pick him up the night of May 10th, 1894, Mrs. Meeks would not allow him to leave alone. Fearing for her husband's life, she insisted that the whole family leave with the Taylors. She did not believe the Taylors capable of murdering them all. Nellie Meeks told her story at the coroner's inquest and indictment, were issued for William P. Taylor and George E. Taylor for the murders of the Meeks family. So they did murder them all.
Hmm. Clearly. Also, cattle rustling is just stealing cows. Like, you're just stealing them.
It's really lame of them.
Yeah, think of something better. Like, something more
stealing
spicy.
Cows ain't worth the murder, you know? In June of 1994, the Taylors were arrested in Batesville, Arkansas, and taken back to Missouri. Though they offered a bond of $50,000 each, bail was refused. So we're going to talk about the trial, or as I spelled it, betrayal. The case was tried in Carlton, Missouri. As the prisoners were being transported there, the train had to be diverted to St. Joe because the sheriff got word of a lynch mob, 250 heavily armed men, faces covered with handkerchiefs, waiting for them in Brooksfield. At the trial, a number of witnesses testified to hearing the Taylors threaten Gus Meeks, and the Meeks' mother, who lived with the family, told of her fears that the Taylors would murder her son. Others testified to hearing gunshots and seeing the Taylors' wagon that night. Though the evidence was circumstantial, there was little doubt as to the defendant's guilt. However, after 2 days of deliberation, the jury reported that they were hopelessly deadlocked at 7-5 for conviction. One juror and an alternate later reported that they had been offered $750 to vote for the acquittal. They were bribed. Who would have thought that the fake businessman would bribe a jury? The second trial began on July of 1895. This time, the prosecution decided to charge the Taylor brothers with just one count of first-degree murder. While it was clear that the murder of Gus Meeks was premeditated, it would be more difficult to prove premeditation to the murders of Mrs. Meeks and the children. During the trial, Nellie Meeks was the ward of prosecuting attorney Pierce and his wife, though she did not, that means she lived with them. Though she did not testify in either trial, Nellie did attend the trials and during the proceedings would occasionally climb onto the prosecutor Pierce's lap. That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
She's just chilling there. She's like, that man killed my dad, you know?
Found family.
That's what I'm talking
about. Happy ending.
Mm-hmm. The case was given to the jury on August 2nd, 1895. This time, they reached the verdict of guilty in an hour and a half. The Taylors appealed to the Missouri Supreme Court, but the verdict was upheld. George and William Taylor were sentenced to hang on April 30th, 1896. On April 11th, 1896, the Taylor brothers broke out of the Carlton jail. They knocked a bar out of their cell, went to the roof of the jail, and used a 50-foot hose to climb down.
They just have those hanging around?
It's probably a fire hose.
No, but like in access to the escape criminals? How do you just find out? My God.
William was quickly captured and taken to Kansas City for safekeeping until the hanging. George Taylor was never captured. And some say he's still alive. No, I'm kidding.
He's still out there to this day rustling cattle.
Stealing your cows. So watch out.
Killing your family.
William Taylor was hanged at 11 a.m. on Thursday, April 30th, 1896, before a crowd of hundreds. He left behind his written statement. I'm not going to read it. We're going to skip it. It was dumb. He was just like, you're killing me, and now my kids are going to be orphans, and my wife's going to be a widow. And it's like, bitch, you killed someone.
That's very much like how you're still defending yourself in Among Us, even though you're like, you know, they know, we all know you're the imposter, and you're still like, I'm not, don't kill me.
Mm-hmm. You're like, no, I've never played Among Us. No, I was just doing my job up in the thing with the thing.
Just admit it, you know, admit it and die.
Yeah. The Meeks family members were buried in a single grave in the Butte Cemetery, 5 miles southeast of Owasco. That can't be how you pronounce it, but that's how I'm going to say it. There are separate markers for Hattie and Mammy. Between the two trials, according to the Quincy Daily Herald, little Nellie Meeks appeared for a week, telling her story at the Eden Museum of St. Joe. She was well-received, drawing large crowds. Nellie was raised by her maternal grandmother. She married a man named Albert Spray, and in 1910, she died due to complications in the birth of her daughter, Hattie. All of her life, she had a deep scar, or a dint, as it was called, in her forehead from when she got hit with a rock.
Sheep pulling sloth realness.
Anyway, that's the end of my story. I know it was incredibly short and incredibly boring, but, you know.
It was a little flavor. I mean, I don't know. We stuck on the cattle rustling. I feel like because it's a little glamorous. It's a little, like, I don't know.
Stealing cows is kind of sexy.
Yeah. So they just, they killed the whole family for, like, money, for, like...
So, I'll break it down. So, the father, Gus Meeks, was part of a cattle snatch in group with the Taylors, and he was arrested for it, but then he was pardoned if he would testify against the Taylors. So then the Meeks were like, hey, bud, how about we pay you $1,000 buckaroonies and you don't testify and you get out of Dodge? And he was like, okay. And they're like, okay, we'll pick you up tonight. And his wife was like, hey, bitch, I think these hoes are going to kill you, because like, why would they just pay you if they could just kill you for not testifying, you know? And so she's like, but I'm going to come with you, because I don't think these bitches will kill a whole family. And then they did.
All right. It all makes sense now.
Mm-hmm. That was the SparkNote version for you.
I mean, what does this remind me of? Like, two bad people betraying each other, found family at the end. I don't know.
A dent in the skull.
Getting hit with a rock.
Cows escaping prison using a fire hose.
I'm trying to think of a single, like, Western movie I've watched. Like, all I can think is Brokeback Mountain, which I haven't even watched. I just know about it.
Are you trying to think of a frontier?
Yeah, because it's, like, giving me that vibe.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, what's that one movie? It's, like, good, famous, and it's just, like, people stuck in a cabin. And is it, like, it's not Insidious, but it's, like, this, it's, like, an I word. All right, the movie I was thinking of was The Hateful Eight. I watched, I think, about half of the movie and then got bored. But, you know, I pulled up the plot.
Half of it?
Or at least some of it. I think I stopped because it was just so slow, but I stopped before it got good.
Yeah, you missed the good part. I think I saw it in theaters. And I'm not saying I'm a fan of Quentin Tarantino, because I'm not. And I'm not saying I like that movie either. But it does get pretty good at the end.
Yeah, because all I remember is it was like miscellaneous people. And they all, like, seek refuge, you know, in this, like, little shack, this little, like, house thing.
A cabin in the mountains?
Yeah. And then people were there. It wasn't, like, an inn. It was, like, one room. Someone had a guitar. Yeah.
It was, like, was the lobby of an inn. But there weren't rooms. Their beds were just in there. Yes, there was a guitar, and that guitar was smashed on set, but it was the real guitar. And the reaction from the woman is the real reaction of this priceless guitar getting ass blasted.
I saw that on TikTok. Yes. So I don't know. Actors take too many damn liberties. It's like, that was actually like a piece of history, and they just smashed it.
Yeah, they did. And I can't recall the actor's name, but he's in like True Grit. He's the one that smashed it, and he also thought it was a replica. I think everything's just so sad about that. That's a good comparison. They are, from what I recall, a couple of them are bounty hunters.
Yeah, they're here.
What's his name? Samuel Jackson's character and the guy from Vice Principals are bounty hunters. Then the other guy has a girl who's a bounty. Flip it. Is that what you call him? I don't know. And then everyone dies. It's really fun.
Wait, they all die. Who's the killer?
They, like, shoot each other. Okay, well, the plot twist was there was, like, I think her family in the basement trying to save her. But they were there, like, the whole time, and you don't figure that out till the end because they, like, shoot upwards. And then it's just a full-out brawl. Everyone just gets whatever. And then the end, one of the main characters, like, bleeds out on a bed.
I'm reading the plot. There's like
since it came
there's
out.
Like poisoned coffee. Obviously, like guns willy nilly. People getting shot. A jar of jelly beans is shattered.
Are you reading the plot summary? What is happening right now?
Yeah, I'm on Wiki, just reading the plot, like going down.
Yeah. So it's an incredibly slow beginning. Josie there's eight of them.
Hides in the cellar.
Yeah.
You know, wild. Wild shit. You know, maybe they're just as confused as we are.
Who is we? Or
we,
they?
You and me. And no. They, the people in this shack getting killed.
The Hateful Eight?
Yeah.
I mean, the movie made sense when I watched it. Clearly, you haven't finished the movie. It's also incredibly long. There's like a weird scene when Samuel L. Jackson, like, details some guy sucking his dick or something.
Ooh, before that kind he of shot movie. Him.
No, it wasn't. It was like, he was like, oh, your brother or something. He was like, well, I took that bastard out into the snow and, you know, it was weird. I think it was fake, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, probably saying it just to stir the pot.
That's what I thought. I don't know. Maybe I should go back and rewatch it, but I think it's on Netflix too.
I don't know. I thought of the case being very much like, where is, they were in Minnesota.
Missouri.
That's like out west, right? Quickly, pull up a map.
You want me to pull up a map?
Yeah.
USA map. You know, it's really embarrassing because didn't we just have an election? Weren't we just staring at a map? It's because they're red and we don't give a
shit. Yeah, fuck the red area. They didn't even get a name.
Yeah, Missouri is like dead center. United States. It's next to Kansas.
So yeah, I was thinking very much Arkansas. Like just fields, very flat, lots of cows. Like the Hateful Eight is like too beautiful for that place. Yeah. They have mountains and snow and shit. They have nothing. They have sun and fields. But maybe there'll be some trees. I can really see that like scene where they get jumped and killed.
Yes. I picture a wagon with some hay and nothing else. In the night. And I guess maybe, it's windy because the hay wouldn't light on fire.
Maybe the wind's a little wet.
This could also be compared to True Grit. Have you seen?
Let me pull up an image. I mean, I don't think so, but I...
It's got Hailee Steinfeld, the singer, in it.
Oh.
As a youth. It's a quite a good movie. It's got Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon and Hailee Steinfeld. And this is the 2010 one, not the 1969 one. I'm not a bitch. And basically this girl and her like parents were murdered, much like the story. And she gets a bounty hunter or whatever, a dude, to hunt down who killed her parent, her father.
That and actually
like,
sounds
there's like
cool.
A found family because he's like, I work alone. And she's like, but I'm like, I just, can you help me find my dad? And he's like, yes, little girl.
That's exactly like the case, but
yeah, no, it is.
It's a lawyer instead of
choose it.
Cause I've never seen it.
Girl, you need to watch more movies from the 2010s.
Here, pause it. We watch it. We'll come back in 2 hours and talk about it with
and
a fresh.
We'll be right back. No, no, it's a good film. I think you'd like it. We could do it for another movie night if you want.
Yeah, I mean, feisty 14-year-old farm girl. You know, boozy trigger happy lawman. Like it's like what. Matilda, what's that one show with the cute girl with the black bob?
Matilda?
Lee Man, the professional.
Oh, Leon the Professional.
Yeah.
The movie. Yeah,
that one.
It's yes, it's exactly the same, but it's in the Wild West. No joke. I love Leon the Professional.
Yeah, I love that
too. Natalie Portman.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this whole episode is just
Leon the Professional. Honestly.
Yeah. Cut everything. Start here.
This is embarrassing for you. As a return guest, you should know how to do this well.
Everyone loves my quirky fumbling for words.
Everyone loves your bad sound quality.
So yeah.
That being said, we can finish this part, and I want to talk about the real big news, and I know I didn't have an episode last week, but the election was last week, and as we know, our man, Joe, won.
Talk about a murder. He fucking killed Trump.
Yeah, he did. I would like
destroyed
to
thank him.
Georgia for your time, and I would also like to thank Pennsylvania for turning blue. And I would also say, fuck you, Florida. We knew you were bad the whole time.
Hate you, Florida.
Hate you, Florida. But this is exciting. This is an incredibly happy moment for all of us. I think we should all give our time to celebrate this win for us, even though some of us might not like Mr. Joe or Kamala's political views or police background. But I think it's a win for women, for gays, for people who are nice to people, and for everyone else who is being hurt by Trump. It's over, and we can start to regrow. And also, there's this video of the news anchor, I think, on CNN, who's like crying as he like makes his little announcement about Biden winning. I don't know if you've seen it. It's pretty good. It starts with, like, he's like, this is a easier day for people who have like children and, you know.
Yeah, to be a father and to like, you know, say you're supposed to be a good person.
It's, yeah. Even though half or a little less than half of the United States voted red, they no longer have a figure to look up to and to aid in their disgusting beliefs. So it's a win for us. And I think we should have this weekend, this week, this next 2 days in one, sorry, 2 weeks in one day to celebrate until we can, you know, get back to it. I mean, never stop activism, but I think we can allow ourselves to celebrate as we are. Anyway, I'm happy about it. So that's cool.
Yeah. I, you know, didn't follow it. I mostly got secondhand information because, you know, maybe I'm not mentally stable enough. But, you know, people were saying it wasn't going to happen in the beginning, but then it happened. You know, shame on them.
I mean, that's because the mail-in ballots were mainly Democratic because we don't believe they're fake. But I did watch the news. I spent a lot of time with CNN news anchor John King and his magical map board. And I really like the CNN.
Was he the one who wrote the number, like, physically?
He did that, as there was, like, a lot of CNN map board men.
I just love when he writes out the physical number. It's like,
yeah, he's writing on the screen. Mm-hmm. And he has that, like, prediction board when he's just, like, trying different things. And he's working, like, 48 hours straight. And he's like, we're still here. We're still going. Thank you to Chris Cuomo, which is Andrew Cuomo's bro, I'm assuming. He was a news anchor. And this guy named Jack, I think that's his name. He was really funny. I loved his words. He said, don't get high on your own supply on live television. He bullied the man for assuming that you have to swear on a Bible, when in fact you could swear on whatever the fuck you want. Made him speechless. Love that. Thank you, CNN News, for helping me get through this trying time.
Thank you, bottled wine.
Thank you, bottle of wine, as well. Anyway, and in this episode, on a good note, hope everyone's doing great, making it through the last couple of weeks of school. I did notice, because I looked at my analytics, that most of my listeners are men between the age of 23 to 27. So, ooh, hi to all you boys. How are you doing? I am single. I'm kidding.
Boys, I'm a gamer girl.
Yeah, she plays Among Us. Anyways, thank you everyone for listening. I just thought it was funny that my analytics were mostly men, just because women true crime podcasts are technically for women, or not technically, statistically for women. Yeah, we got it.
Ooh, thanks.
So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone for voted for Biden, or who voted in general. Honestly, if you didn't vote, fuck you. And unless you couldn't vote, of course.
Convicted criminals.
Like under 18 year olds.
No.
Are you convicted criminals out there? My mailbox is open too if you want to send me letters. No. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Cameron, for being on my podcast for another week. We love you. The fans love you. I love that you're always available. Don't kill anyone. See you next week. Bye-bye.